Episode 1. Is there too much cooperation going on? Welcome to this cast from Global Integration. In this series, we'll share our ideas on what is different about working in large, complex, matrix and virtual organisations. These ideas come from our work with over 300 major multinationals and delivering over 100,000 participant days of training in over 40 countries. If you apply these practical ideas, you can make your team or organisation faster, less expensive to run, and more satisfying to work in. You can find out more about us at globalintegration.com or our blog lifeinamatrix.com. In this episode, I'll be talking to Kevin Hall, CEO of Global Integration and author of the book Speed Lead, about what is different about cooperation in large companies. Kevin, now we're used to hearing about the importance of teamwork and cooperation in companies, but you take a different view.
Well, I do think cooperation is important, but what we've found is that there's far too much of the wrong kind of cooperation going on. A lot of the clients we work with have introduced matrix structures in order to get people to cooperate more across the traditional business silos. Unfortunately, that's what they've achieved. And the symptoms of this are too much teamwork and far too many unnecessary meetings and conference calls.
Well, I can see your point about meetings, but isn't teamworking essential to get things done?
Well, I think teamwork is important, just not as often as everyone thinks. For all of my career, teams were the answer to every problem. I don't remember ever being given an alternative. In a lot of the companies we work with, teamwork's a company value. Now, how did that happen? Teamwork's a tool, not a value. You wouldn't have appraisal as a value. It's not an article of faith. It's just a way of working together. It goes further. So teamwork's very often an appraisal criteria, so managers are measured on their ability to work in teams. They're sent on team-building trainings. And if anyone comes up to you and puts their hand on your shoulder and says, "I'm not sure you're a team player," it's the kiss of death for your career. So there's a whole infrastructure within an organisation encouraging teamworking without really thinking about where it adds value. Now, the idea of teams is that they're more than the sum of their parts. That's why we use teamwork. And in our training, I often ask people, who's been on these super teams? The teams where everyone works together, relationships are great, we deliver results. And about 40% of people have had that experience. So these teams do exist. But then I ask, who's been on a team that was held back by the most incompetent or lazy member? And everyone's been on that kind of team.
So what do you think has actually changed to make teams more difficult to manage?
Well, the first team I ever managed were all in one location. And even then it was a challenge to manage people. But when we had a team meeting, it was just along the hall. It only took an hour. And so looking back, those meetings probably weren't great, but at least they were quick. Now, we specialise in consulting and training with companies that are virtual, complex, matrixed, cross-cultural, and they tend to operate across a lot of different time zones, a lot of different locations. My own team is spread across 8 time zones. People tend to work from home. We've got very diverse cultures and almost no face-to-face time to work together. Now, these kind of teams are expensive to run and very rarely get face-to-face collectively. So team time becomes scarce and it becomes expensive. And what we discovered was that in that kind of environment, traditional teamwork can cause delay, cost, and dissatisfaction. We also found that the ideas we developed for very complex teams were also applicable to much simpler teams. So this seems to be a universal problem.
But are there alternatives to teamwork that can get the job done just as well?
Well, we learned to distinguish between a true team and a group of individuals who need to work together. So if you imagine a hub and spoke layout with the manager in the middle and the individuals reporting in through a single reporting line, this is what we call a star group. And a star group is a number of people who normally work independently. Their roles don't overlap. They have their own unique skills, but they need to be coordinated. So this star hub and spoke model works really well for those kind of jobs. The alternative is the traditional team. And in a traditional team, the objectives require everyone to cooperate. So individuals have complementary skills. They need to communicate regularly. And I call these spaghetti teams because everybody has to be connected to everybody else. Now, if I go back to the idea of the star group, one of the major problems is that the person in the middle of that hub and spoke has had too much training. They've been on all of the courses, they've been appraised on their ability to work in teams, and so they think that they have to have team meetings, conference calls, and work more collectively. Now, my acid test for whether this is you is if you sit in your so-called team meetings or calls, and you sit and listen to a series of boring, irrelevant updates from people, and you're thinking, I don't need this information, but you're happy to be there because in a moment you're going to make a fascinating summary of what you've been doing, then you're probably in a group. Because if you really were in a team, you'd need to know what the other people are doing in order to do your job. A classic example of this would be activity updates. In many teams and projects we've worked with, people spend an hour a week just updating each other on what they've been doing. Now, unless that information is relevant, it's just a waste of time. So if you're in that kind of team, here's a tip. Just cancel your activity reviews and status updates. No one cares.
So what are the alternatives to teamwork that can actually get the job done just as well?
In general, the simplest form and the smallest number of participants will be best. So always prefer groups over teams and always minimise the number of people involved. Now, this also has a hugely positive effect on teamwork, because now our collective time, the scarce and expensive time we spend together, we can really focus on things where teamwork adds value. So it's a real win-win. Now, there are two other factors that we need to think about in the kind of complex companies we work in, and that's technology and maths. In technology, I don't know if you've ever sat in on one of those conference calls with 20 people. You cannot run that kind of interactive team discussion in a large conference call. So even if you need to be a team, if you're working together through technology, that might limit your ability to cooperate. And in reality, large groups working through technology do become groups rather than teams. The second thing is just pure maths. If you look at the spaghetti pattern of communicating, everyone is connected to everyone else. Now, people tell us on our survey at speedleading.com that the typical team has 11 people. Now, 11 people all connected to each other creates 55 potential connections. People also tell us that on average, they're part of four teams. Now, if that's true, it means they've got 220 connections to manage all the time. Now, every one of these connections is a cost or a constraint. It's another call, another person at the meeting, another business trip. Unless these connections add value, all they're doing is adding cost.
So in practice, if I want to break out of unnecessary teamwork, where should I start?
Well, the first thing is to work out for your team or organisation when you really need to be a team or when you can operate as a group. And be specific. Which topics require everyone to be involved? These are the things where you need to be a spaghetti team. Other topics which are really individual, you should be handling by one-to-one rather than in a collective context. Now, it's rare to see a pure spaghetti or a pure star organisation. The trick is to be clear about what mode you are in at any particular time. So sometimes you'll need to be a team, other times you can prefer to be a group. Second thing, always prefer the simplest form of cooperation. So always prefer groups over teams if you want to get things done fast. Third, make sure you only involve the essential people. The smaller the number of people, the better, whether that's a team or a group. Fourth, if you are a big team, think about splitting into smaller sub-teams to increase participation and to get more done. But probably the biggest mistake is to use collective contexts like meetings and conference calls to deliver work that's really individual. If you were going to take one thing away from this podcast, I'd encourage you to just go out and cancel those activity and status updates and see what happens. Good luck.
Thank you, Kevin. Well, that was certainly an eye-opener, and I hope our audience enjoyed this podcast as well. But it's worth remembering that all of the value of these ideas actually comes from you putting them into practice. So why not give a couple of them a try to see if they work for you? You can find out more from Kevin's book, Speed Lead: Faster, Simpler Ways to Manage People, Projects and Teams in Complex Companies. You can join the debate, ask questions or add comments about this podcast at our blog, lifeinamatrix.com. Finally, you can see more about global integration, download free articles, or contact us about our consulting and training services at globalintegration.com.